In Ukraine, the long-anticipated counteroffensive against Russia is underway. Ukrainian forces have launched attacks against Russian troops occupying the southeastern part of the country. And Ukrainian President Zelensky is under pressure to maintain momentum in the war, in part to hold on to support from Western allies. But the longer the fighting continues, the more complicated other international alliances become. Ishan Tharoor is just back from a trip to Asia's top security forum in Singapore, where the war in Ukraine was top of mind. He's a columnist for our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Hi, Ishan.
Hi, Robin. How's it going?
It's good. And you were at the Shangri-La Dialogue. This is where the war in Ukraine loomed large over discussions about security in Asia. Just tell us, what was the general mood?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating forum. It's the preeminent security forum in Asia. You have dozens of defense ministers and top officials, even some prime ministers, attend this one hotel in Singapore. And of course, there are lots of conversations about lots of different things, but Ukraine hung over proceedings in a pretty fascinating way.
Yeah,
I think there is a consensus there that the war should end as soon as possible, but not necessarily any consensus of how the war should end. And what was interesting about this time was that you also had a lot of Ukrainians in the rooms, and the Ukrainians have been making an effort to reach out to the so-called Global South in recent months to really get their message across, because they feel that a lot of countries outside the West don't really hear their perspective and buy into perhaps a perspective that's propagated by Russia or China.
Well, let's listen to a surprising peace proposal from the Indonesian defense minister. He called for a demilitarized zone between Russia and Ukraine, 15 kilometers back from each side's current position, a UN-backed referendum in disputed territories. He said, let's not put blame on any side. You know, as we'd expect, that did not go over well with Germany, or as you said, the Ukrainians there, the Ukrainian defense minister.
Mm-hmm.
And when they objected to that kind of, wait a second, both sides ism and everybody has to give up the same, that Indonesian defense minister said he wouldn't respond to what he called Western moralizing, but he did. What did he say?
It was really interesting. He heard some objections and said, look, you're being overly emotional here, and that we come from part of the world that has all sorts of experiences of war, all sorts of experiences of imperial powers coming to take their territory, all sorts of experiences of violations of sovereignty. And the realistic way out is, and this is a critique you've heard from many people outside of the West, is that, you know, we don't support Russia's invasion, but we support ending this war. And you don't practically support ending this war. And that is a big difference. And so while the U.S. and its allies in Europe talk about giving the Ukrainians what they need to fight as long as they need to, the view elsewhere is very different. That, you know, this is a war that's been destabilizing for the world. It's interrupted the food supply chain. It's had all sorts of downstream effects in countries that are much poorer than countries in the West. Mm-hmm. And we need it to end. And so if that means Ukraine making concessions to Russia, so be it. And of course, that's a position that is totally unpalatable to many in the West.
Right. Well, another thing that might have loomed, but I don't think I ever once read it in your terrific article. Of course, there's China that we did hear about. But I don't think I ever once saw the word Taiwan. So,
yes, indeed. I mean, there's a separate article I wrote, Taiwan, of course, is a major sort of part, unspoken part of the discussion. The Taiwanese are not present there, because what's interesting about this weekend is that it's this one moment where the defense minister of the United States, or the defense secretary of the United States, and the defense minister of China are both present. And in the past, you've had moments where they actually have a real bilateral meeting. The tensions between the U.S. and China are so severe right now that there was no proper bilateral discussion between the two. And instead, you really saw speeches delivered by Secretary Austin and by the Chinese defense minister, Li Shangfu, that kind of hardened and kind of nailed down each country's positions. And of course, Taiwan was a big part of both speeches.
Right.
And the U.S. said it's a status quo power. The U.S. said that it didn't want to change anything about Taiwan. And the Chinese defense minister instead wheeled around and said the U.S. is trying to change things. And you know, he made some very blunt threats about retaking and restoring Chinese rule over Taiwan. So the atmosphere was quite tense, and the worries in the room were very pronounced.
Right. Well, and just to wrap that in a bow, the other unspoken thing is, you know, the war in Ukraine is a cautionary tale for Asia as well. because no one wants to see a similar conflict in Asia. And, of course, one of those references would be China and Taiwan. We're going to pick this up again with you. Washington Post, Ishan Tharoor, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.